Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
You are my favorite.
He's defending the villain?
I am so confused right now. This...
Don't change me.
No.
I said it.
You're so stupid!
I don't know where I put that. Oh, there it is.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Sharkbait.
None of this is usable.
Keep the kids. Get rid of the rest.
Hi, welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron. I'm doing the recording. I'm the oldest out of the three of us.
Hi, I'm Ben. I'm the charm, wit, and personality.
And I'm Jake. I'm going to be your sunshine into Gotham today.
By sunshine into Gotham, he means he's super sick, quote unquote, from too much fun last night. So one person here does not respect our podcast.
Well, we're going to edit that out. So we read some more Batman books. We're here to talk about them. But before we get to that, did you guys have anything? It's been a while since we recorded. It's been almost a month. In that span, is there anything Batman or geek-related that you've experienced that you want to share?
Yes. I want to talk about my trip to Vegas, where there was a super cool 1960s Batman, what's it called, slot machine.
Yeah,
oh, nice.
You sent us a picture of that.
I did. I will post it. No, I already posted it on Instagram ahead of my time. So go look at that.
Yeah, check it out on Instagram.
Yeah, I gave a whole 25 cents to that machine and lost it, so that was sad. But it was cool. It had, like, spinning lights, and it had all the characters, and it was, like, the pow, wham, bam, and it had Robin talking about something. I don't know. It was cool. It was fun.
Nice.
Also in Vegas, I got to experience life as a superhero when I leaped off of... Do you know that? I don't know if you know this yet, Aaron. I jumped off an 80-story building. As it wasn't bungee jumping. It was called, like... assisted falling or and so and I was basically like vertically ziplining off of an 80-story tall building.
Sounds fantastic.
And I felt very much like I needed Batman, or preferably Spider-Man, but we're not talking about him, to come save me as I fell to my doom. It was very cool and very exciting.
What was that, a casino or?
Yeah, it's the world's, I don't know if it's the world's, it's America's tallest assisted falling. It was off of the Space Needle, not Space Needle. It was a replica of whatever that building is in Seattle that looks like a needle.
Yeah, it's a Space Needle.
Yeah, so jumped off that.
Nice.
So that was cool.
Do you want to have like a hook shot, like grappling cord, like shoot off while you're going?
I needed something.
Start swooping through the city.
My husband, Joshua, jumped off after me and he was terrified. I was like, this is my best life. And he was like, why am I doing this? And he held onto the cord above him. And I pictured him very much as like Vicky Vale, like, who's got you? So he's like trying to not die.
Let's see. I watched Mask of the Phantasm.
For the first time.
For the first time. The boys watched that with me. I think they enjoyed Joker and parts of it. It's a little over their heads, I think, but it was good. Bought some trades. Got volume 2 out of the new run of Batman and then picked up a couple single issues.
Did you read the first run yet, or the first trade?
No, but I was out looking for a couple things specifically and saw they had volume 2, so I'm like, well... You know, when you can find them in order, I kind of pick them up, so.
I did a lot of shopping, too. A lot of the local stores here in St. Louis did fall sales. Several of the new comic book stores were celebrating their anniversaries, and we're doing a big discount sale, so I unfortunately couldn't get the rest of the Brotherhood to go with me that day, but on a old school comic run where I played Green Day and drove around the city to as many comic stores as I could.
He's trying to make me feel bad. I'm sure I had a legitimate reason. But thank you for my beautiful Batman and Harley Quinn statue you picked up for me.
Yeah, yeah. You can see the statue and all of the rest of the goodies that I picked up that day on our Facebook feed at the Brotherhood of Batman podcast.
Nice. So. I was sorting my books today in the CLZ app and
nice.
Kind of make sure I scanned everything in. So I've been kind of, my Batman
section is pretty
good.
That's the same app I use. Have you bought the upgraded?
I did buy the upgraded version. I think
what
you
is the
kind
app?
Of have to have it. CLZ Comics? But it, you can barcode scan. You can categorize
them. Can you do single issues?
You can do single issues.
Oh.
Some of them you have to. Some of them it's a little harder to enter than others. There was one book that I wasn't able to find in the in it, but most of the stuff I think is in there. So it's pretty extensive.
That's cool. I should do that because every time I try to go buy comic books, I'm always sitting there with a little notepad being like, oh, what do I need?
Yeah. So I finally added all of mine, which is cool. So
Does it organize them for you? Like if I...
Well, you have different sort functions. So you can sort by title, you can sort by series, you can sort by crossover.
So it's not going to just do it in the order you scan them. I scan a bunch of impulse issues and then realize
I... Well, if you scan a bunch of impulse issues and it'll... put them in impulse and it'll tell you which numbers you have.
Oh.
So like if I click on the boys, it tells me that I've got those. I have 9 of the trade paperbacks of the boys.
Cool.
If I click on something else, like...
So you can do manual input.
I might have
input.
To do that. That's awesome.
You could go to Batman or you could go to impulse and it would pull up all of the issues that were in that run and you just... tick off the boxes that you have and then enter them into your collection.
This episode of the Brotherhood of Batman is brought to you by such and such podcast. What or such and CLZ such app.
Comics.
CLZ.
Anyway, yeah.
Cool.
So that's cool.
Love that.
So what are you drinking today, Ben? Anything special?
I brought a lovely themed beverage. It is a milkshake with rum, but the theme is the flavors I used are peanut butter and banana. Do you guys know what I did?
Peanut butter and banana.
Peanut butter and banana for today's episode. We read a book about the Joker in which he kills someone with a peanut and kills someone with a banana. So I wanted a delicious beverage of the Joker's food killing methods. So, and it's pretty tasty. I put a little too much rum in it, but it's really yummy other than that.
That's good.
So.
I'm not... feeling all that great. I'm a little under the weather, so I'm just having some sparkling lime water out of my new Joker mug that I got, because we did read a book that features a Joker, so I thought that was appropriate.
It's a very nice mug.
It's very fun. It's the Joker's face.
Is the handle a J?
It is a J.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. Is it modeled after any specific art of the Joker? Because it looks very... It looks kind of like Death in the Family Joker, or
I'd say not. it's probably the
jokish Joker.
Yeah, it looks like
it's very traditional Joker. Very long face, flappy green hair. Yeah,
floppy.
I'm drinking some Revelation Stout by Public House Brewing Company. The stout's just dark. I like dark beers, and I feel like these books were pretty dark in some points, especially the Penguin one, which we'll talk about. But the Revelation, I kind of chose it because there's a lot of things that are revealed by Penguin in these books, and a lot of things that come to light in the Joker book. So I just kind of thought the Revelation made sense with what we're read this time.
Cool. Is it delicious?
It's not bad. It's not bad. It's not my favorite stout, but...
So for part one of this podcast, we are jumping into the... Batman Dead to Rights, which is it's the first time the Joker has been brought in by Batman, and is really a book about having to see what they're going to do with these criminals who are worse than just your average schmuck on the street. So Batman brings in the Joker, and we really get the story of these police officers, and I saw this more as a look into Gotham, really, than more of an actual Batman story. So the Joker comes in, and this is right off of the first introduction we had to him where he was polluting the waterways.
Uh-huh.
And he just keeps on going. He keeps doing bad things while in jail, which is what the whole book is about, which shows how scary he is. And we get to see a lot of his methods. And then Batman brings in more people, and we eventually get the introduction to Arkham Asylum, which is kind of where the book ends up. And in the Joker's chaos of creating drama within the justice system while he's already brought in, he actually creates a new villain named Bad Cop. And what'd you guys think about the book?
This came from Batman Confidential 22 through 25.
What is that? Is that an ongoing
series?
So the series?
Confidential was a series that ran from 2006 to 2011. It's very much in vein of the, or very similar to the Legends of the Dark Knight series, where it was all standalone out of ongoing modern continuity done by different artists and writing teams. And they do 5 to 6 issue stories that were interdispersed in the rest of Batman's timeline. Mm-hmm. So a lot like the Legends of the Dark Knight series, where the Confidential series didn't have its own thread of continuity. It jumped back and forth into different places in the rest of the story. So, like Ben told us, this one happens. It doesn't say for a fact, but it seems like it would be right after the events of The Man Who Laughed. So after Batman has foiled Joker's plans to poison the reservoir, he takes him into GCPD for the first time, and the effects that Joker has at that event. Originally, when we were planning out the episodes for this, I didn't know about this book. And
oh, you never read this one before?
No, I've not read it until the podcast. And when I found it and found out what it was about, I wanted to actually... I talked to you guys about putting this episode in the middle of episodes we had already recorded, and kind of doing a jump backwards. And you guys pointed out, and I think we discussed it a little bit, that, you know, you're going to find, and the DC is going to continue to create Batman books that are going to happen in things that have already happened. They're going to go back in time, and they're going to put flashback episodes. Mm-hmm. So, listeners, if you are reading along, this book actually occurs several episodes ago from what we're already reading, or have already read. But I think it fit. Like, I liked reading it here. Like, we've gotten, you know, a taste of other villains and everything, and to go back and revisit a Joker story and find out how nasty this guy actually is was kind of nice.
I agree. I think he's such an important... I mean, he's the villain of Batman. I think it's good to have him interspersed. I don't want a whole bunch of Joker and then nothing. I want him every couple episodes.
Well, I think it ties to Batman having him interspersed because it's that dance between them. Mm-hmm. That ongoing, continual love, hate, relationship they have going
it's
on.
It's just love.
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought there were some parts in this where, I mean, you talk about your drink kills people using a peanut and bananas in court, and mm-hmm. I'm like reading it and I'm like, why are they letting him bring food into court for one?
Well, then they stop. They're like, only milk. Oh, I think they said only pudding. Sorry, I was like, oh, that would have been great if it was milkshakes.
But, yeah, he's pretty evil in this book. Like, it starts off with him getting dropped off in the police station, which I thought that entry was cool. The mm-hmm. cops are talking about the backstory of the, like, previous issue, and he's gets dropped in, and his one phone call he makes is to basically entice one of the police officers' wives to commit suicide.
New wife. He talks about how he just got back from his honeymoon and how happy they were.
Yeah. Yeah, and it goes from there. You know?
So that is actually the one issue I had with this book. Isn't there a thing about, like, getting other doctors' opinions? So he calls this woman, and he pretends to be her doctor and tells her she has this incurable disease. She's going to die. It's going to make her husband go in debt.
Oh, Batman, I hope you're watching, because I've got a very special surprise for you.
Thank you, Mark Hamill. And he basically is like, you should just hang yourself so you don't suffer. And that's lovely and super smart and evil of him. But then she just hangs herself.
She
I'm like,
does it, yeah.
You don't want to call someone else. You don't want
to,
like,
talk to your husband.
Sleep on it for one night. Yeah, so that was a moment of disbelief for me. But then as the book kept going and he kept killing people, with, like, when they were moving him in jail, he stole someone's pen and he stabbed him in the back of the neck. Like, he was doing all these really creative, really off-the-wall ways of killing people. And I was so impressed with the artist and the writer. And he would do something, and then I would go back and look. And you see him take the pen. Like, you see him holding the pen, but you don't notice it the first time you read it.
Yeah.
So I just was super impressed with the murders. And to me, that was what I took away from the book, which is why I based my drink on it.
Yeah.
But I was...
You mentioned, like, you like the art style. I wrote down, I don't like the art style too much.
Well,
and I think I like most of it, but I think it was the Joker's depiction that I didn't
So,
what I liked was the hidden little things. Like, you saw that the judge had a bracelet and kept focusing on the bracelet, but you couldn't read it. And then once he died,
well enough, I paid any attention
when
to that.
He died on the last page of that issue, you see, or last page of whatever that's that arc, you see a close up of his bracelet and says he's super allergic to peanuts. So, like, that was how he...
Yeah, I saw that one. And
so that happened, and the pen happened, and then after the banana thing happens, you see the, I don't know what it's called, but the person that writes down everything that's happening in court, the person that's typing.
The stenographer?
Yes, you see them crying, and they have a banana peel on their desk. So I don't think he had the bananas. I think the other person was eating the bananas.
So the artist, Scott McDaniel, I know him as a Nightwing artist. Mm-hmm. He did the, I don't remember how many issues it was, but for the first several years of the standalone Nightwings series, he was the stay artist on it. I agree, Aaron, like, his art style isn't normally my preference. It's not quite cartoony. It's very... illustrated, it borderlines on cartoony, and I think that style for this story, actually, with as much murdering and horrible acts that the Joker's committing, it the lighter style kept this book as a light read. I thought if it had been a grittier art style or
I see what you're saying, it would have changed.
The book would have been a lot darker and a lot heavier,
which is why I liked the art, because we know that I'm not into the dark, and I'm getting over these, like, super gloomy... Well, I felt like it matched the Joker, because it's, like,
I think it does, because, I think you're right. And I think when I wrote down and made the note, I think it was, like, the depiction of the Joker, I didn't think it was as good. You do see it in his hand.
So he's talking to the guard with the... Or the police guy with
the clipboard.
And then there's a panel where he's holding the pen, and then the next page he stabs him in the neck.
Get it? Yeah, okay.
Just like, little how did things he
reach
like
through,
that.
When I read it, I was like, how did he reach through the net to get the pen? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
But yeah,
I did
totally
the same thing.
Right.
I went back and found those little subtle clues that they had been putting in there that the Joker is noticing. You know, they put them there. If we were paying attention, we may have seen them originally, but we did have to go back.
Well, I started to near the end because I was like, what's he going to do next? So I was like looking for things.
But you said that this was a take more on Gotham, and I agree with you. It is very much a how does the infection of Joker coming into the scene, and you know, Batman, when he came on the scene in year one, you know, it really shook the criminal world, and it put the mafia on guard, and...
Stupid mafia, stupid twisted cops. We're finally to the supervillains, and we're finally to a place to hold them.
Yeah.
The end of the book, we see the Riddler be brought in. Thank you. Was that... I didn't mean to cut you off, but do we see this bad cop again? Is he a character?
Not that I'm aware of. This is the only mention I know of him as.
I don't know. I haven't heard of him.
So the cop that Joker calls his wife and convinces his wife to commit suicide because he convinces her that she's terminally ill, this drives this good police detective...
To alcoholism.
To alcoholism and into a pit of despair.
Mm-hmm.
And then he rebels against that and creates a new persona for himself as a vigilante. Not a vigilante, he becomes villainous. He wants to...
He shoots Gordon, shoots another police officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And calls himself Bad Cop, which reminded me of the Lego movie.
Yeah. Where he spins his face around.
Yeah.
But part of that is, he's in Arkham, and Joker's there taunting him. Joker's encouraging him to go down that spiral. Yeah.
They realize that they can't just hold the Joker in a regular prison cell, and so the design of Arkham from
it was an old asylum, but they re-established it as that.
Yeah, they were gonna make it like a happy living place, a condominium or something, and then they were like, no, we're gonna take this back and use it as an asylum again.
Yeah, they needed somewhere to house these these characters that weren't fit for regular jails. And
Gotham City could be in serious danger.
I'm so happy Mark Hamill has been added to your keyboard.
So I was going to wait until the second book to bring this up, but I think it's we've heard Mark Hamill now. Like, when I read the Joker, especially in this book, I hear Mark Hamill's voice.
He is so good as the voice of the Joker.
Had you experienced that before you watched Mask of the Phantasm?
I don't know. I mean, I've seen clips and things. I never watched the animated series or very much of it. But watching The Mask of the Phantasm, I had seen it before.
But you were like a teenager when it came out.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I mean,
we're getting to that
point. A little past that. But yeah, I think I had known about him being the Joker. I've read some, you know, like.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd heard as much. But I think I had seen The Mask of the Phantasm, but it had been years ago.
Well, he does the Joker's voice for the Arkham games.
Okay.
And yep. Kevin Conroy does Batman in those as well. Like, those are the two big voice actors. I mean, they've been attached to those characters for years now. It's something when we get to the Penguin book later, like, I hear a certain voice when I read Penguin. I definitely hear...
Oh, now I want to know which.
I definitely hear Mark Hamill's voice when I read the Joker. Like, and in a more cartoony style that Scott McDaniel used, it reiterates that even more. I really liked the scene where he's being booked, and they're trying to take his photo, and he's just acting goofy. He's got his finger up his nose, and, you know, like, sticking his tongue out.
He doesn't have fingerprints. He doesn't give any names.
He has, like, too much acid.
He has no issue with being incarcerated. Like, to him, it's just another part of the game that he's playing, and he utilizes the things around him, like we said, like the banana and the peanut, to continue to murder people. Like, sticking him in jail isn't going to stop him. It doesn't change who he is. He's not going to be rehabilitated. And Gotham is learning that in this book. Like, Batman wasn't sure how he was going to handle this guy. And now we're realizing that there really is no way to handle the Joker. Like, you can't stop him.
Yeah, and there's a scene with Gordon where Gordon gets a little snippy with Batman about, like, I don't think you know how to handle him either. I'm like, whoa, yeah, Jim. Yeah. Whoa, Jim. Bring it down. Like, I don't know. I loved the book. I was super into it. My only problem was how easily he convinced her to kill herself and that she probably should have called another doctor. But after that, I was super enthralled. The lighthearted, cartoony look to me was like, okay, this is a book that I would have actually picked up. This is, you know, I was into it, and the murder's like kind of fun when it's like yeah. But like, it's not, I'm not like, oh, we're in an alley and it's dark and then I can't really tell what's happening, which we'll get to in the next book. This was very clear to me what was happening with this story.
Yeah, it's very good developed art style, very light. And you said it makes it almost lighthearted and all the murdering. Like,
look, even his jokes were, like, silly. Like, he was being dumb. Like, he was, like, making these dumb jokes. And then I'm like, okay, Joker, like, what are you doing? And then he would kill someone. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, the moment you let your guard down. The moment you let your guard down, he murders somebody. And that's just the way that the Joker is. Like, you can't stop for a second or think for a second that he's not plotting something. I mean, he acts like a goon, but he's a genius.
And oh, yeah, he's totally.
I think someone says that genius. At some point. Someone yeah. comments on how intelligent he is, yeah. or that he's not crazy or something. They're like, he's too put together. What did you guys think about when Batman dressed up as Matches Malone?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. So we got a lot of firsts in this book. We met a lot of new characters.
And we're going to get to them.
We are. we'll start with Matches Malone. Matches Malone has always been Bruce Wayne Batman's criminal persona. He
I did not know that.
Chews on a match. He throws
exciting.
On a beanie.
So when you saw Matches, you didn't know who it was?
Not at first.
Oh. Yeah, I was thinking that when I was reading it. I was like, I wonder what it would be like to be reading this and get to experience that for the first time. So that's cool.
Well, and I went back to the earlier books we read where he's the janitor and the disguises, uh-huh. and I'm like,
this is the one he sticks with. Matches is like a thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matches has his own, like, criminal record. People know about him. You know, they use this.
No one knows he's Batman, though, right? I guess the Joker does. in this.
Well, yeah, I think the Joker figures it out in this one immediately. Like, they're in... So, matches Malone. So, Bruce Wayne dresses like matches Malone, gets incarcerated next to the Joker so that he can try to get some information about maybe his plot or what's happening. Within seconds of being put in a cell next to the Joker, the Joker's already figured out that it's Batman. He knows immediately that this is not the guy he says he is, and he calls him out on it right away.
Because of his scowl. He says something about his, like... handsome scowl or something ridiculous.
Well, and if we're reading this in the story order that we're reading, this is only the second time that Batman and Joker have interacted together since the Man Who Laughed. Like, Joker already has this infatuation with Batman that's gonna continue for a long time.
But... Well, we gotta go back then, because when bad copper Jeff is attacking Batman, Joker saves Batman. We skipped that part. Joker saves him. And then Gordon tases the Joker, which is great. But Jeff goes after the Joker for revenge, and then he tries to kill Batman. Joker ends up saving Batman right before that. And then Gordon shows up and tases Joker, and that's where Joker gets put back into Arkham.
Yeah, for sure. He's starting the dance.
Uh-huh.
And he's understanding that Batman is...
Batman
helpful
makes it
to
fun.
Him. Mm-hmm. And you said his name's Jeff. Jeff wants to hang Batman because
G-O-F,
he sees...
G-E-O-F-F
yeah,
is
yeah,
that Jeff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just wasn't paying attention to his name. He tries to hang Batman, like how his wife died, and he's blaming Batman for his wife dying. He's blaming Batman for not stopping the Joker. He's not going after the Joker. He's... using going after the Joker to lure out Batman, and what he calls it a disease. He's like blaming Batman for causing these things, which we've talked about, like all these supervillains come about because of him. So it's kind of interesting that bad cop saw that.
Yeah.
And then the Joker's like, oh, maybe I want him around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool to watch that whole thing unfold. Have either of you heard of the villain Lockup?
I feel like I have, but I don't know anything about them. Like, the name, like, that sounds familiar.
So, there was a Bat story, I think, in between 96 and 98 in Detective Comics with this supervillain named Lockup that basically was a bad cop. He would find these people and he would, like, be really, he'd punish them, and he didn't like the way things were going about. And I was thinking about him the whole time I was reading this. Almost to the point of wondering if he like becomes him. I didn't look it up, but I don't think so. I think it's just a similar story that they did. But 97, this was written in what, 2008? So this actually came after. So maybe they were inspired by Lockup. But he like creates his own prison. So he got like Two-Face and he got some different bad guys, and he actually gets Tim Drake Robin. I got to mention Tim Drake. He gets Tim Drake Robin and thinks that he's doing something bad, and he like locks them all up in his own prison because he doesn't feel like even Arkham is enough of a punishment for these people.
Not only is Batman inspiring supervillains, and you know, he's not the we read a book with Superman. He's not the ray of hope that Superman is. So Superman wants to inspire people to do better and be a better version of themselves. Batman is just gonna beat you into because of that
that sounds so abusive.
Well, because of that,
my way or Arkham.
It is. It's Batman's way of the highway. It's his city, and there are people that are taking that, not only the villains and acting on it, but there's people who think that they are doing the same thing as Batman, like Lockup or Bad Cop. They think they're curing a problem, but they're making it worse.
Right, because Batman still has his rules. He won't kill anyone. Like, he's doing these things where the other guys are being more violent and, you know. And they don't have the training. They don't have the background that Batman has to motivate them. So they're just sloppy.
And that doesn't make Batman right. Like, I think that's something that, you know, the books sometimes touch on, but often glean over, is that, you know, Batman is a vigilante. He's breaking the law every time he goes out and does what he does, and he thinks he's right. And I think later stories are gonna
that he's not.
Well,
are you pro cop and anti Batman, Jake?
I love the part in in the Dark Knight, in the opening scenes of the Dark Knight, where they have the Batman copycats that are trying to stop the Scarecrow and the mob. Uh-huh. And, you know, they want to help. They just want to be out in the streets. And what makes them different than Batman? And he's like, well, I'm not wearing hockey pads.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't help but think of that part when I was reading Bad Cop. Like, he's just wearing his riot gear. Like, he's wearing hockey pads.
And that's a lot of the fun of doing this podcast and doing all the different types of Batman is you do get these similarities and these references. And it's just kind of fun to see all the worlds. So, is there anything else you boys want to talk about for this book before I bring up the female characters?
Well, yeah, go for it, because that's definitely something I want to talk about. So, we have a lot of new introduced characters.
Yes. And... So, while I was reading this, I was a little getting back on my high horse of like, okay, where are the girls at? We had one female character. She hung herself before we even met her. And we're going issues and issues into this, what, six-book trade? I think it's six books. And we're going, I'm like, okay, I like this book, but there's no females. And if there are, they're either being murdered with banana peels or being convinced to hang themselves with one phone call. And I was like, all right, I'm going to have something to complain about. And then the final issue, or two issues, brings in two characters, one by the name of Renee Montoya and one by the name of Barbara Gordon. Let's get into it.
So, yeah, in addition to meeting...
Matches
Malone, we meet Renee Montoya, who is, next to Harvey Bullock, probably the most well-known police officer on Gordon's force.
This was her, like, in training, right? She's like a police officer, but she's not a detective yet, or was she training to become
a police
officer?
Yeah, she was still at the academy, because Bad Cop goes to the police academy, and... murders a bunch of rookie cops.
Mm-hmm. And her intro was kind of cool. Like, I don't even remember if they did, like, it wasn't a splash page, but it was something about, like, her name. They were, like, they called her Montoya, and you see her dramatically, like, turning. Like, it was something where I was, like, it was a cool moment.
Yeah, they definitely, and I don't know,
they made it clear that she was someone.
Yeah, I wasn't able to find another, first appearance for her that was anywhere in that vein. Like,
actual appearance was just, you know, she just showed up. She but was this there. Was... Yeah. Acknowledging that she is someone who is going to matter because it was a looking back book. And so it wasn't her first actual appearance. It was just being like, okay, we're bringing her into the story.
Yeah.
And it was nice because...
I didn't pay any attention to that. I didn't know who, I didn't know... I didn't recognize the name. There's a lot, with matches and her and...
This would be a really good one, I think, for you, Aaron, to revisit after we get further in and we watch some of the cartoon and we watch different things. Because I knew her from the cartoon. And then they actually... Am I going to spoil anything if I talk about her significance now?
No.
So she eventually... No. She eventually becomes a superhero, right? She becomes the Question.
The Question. She's the second Question.
And I don't know if that was before or after she is in a... serious lesbian relationship, holla LGBTQ, with another character in the Batman world who we'll get to. So she just kind of is there, and like you said with Bullock, she's in the stories, she's doing things, and then becomes her own character with her own stories. So yeah, it's really exciting.
She's very subtly done in The Dark Knight, again, bring that back up. She's one of the two cops that betrays, Harvey Dent and Rachel.
What?
Yeah, that's Renee Montoya.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Yeah. But she's the one that doesn't get killed and only did it because her mom was sick.
Yes, I do. Okay, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. That's Renee Montoya. But she's a big player in the cartoon. She shows up quite a bit. She's going to be in several books that we read, and like Ben said, she ends up getting her own superhero persona and superhero girlfriend. So.
Yeah.
That was cool, but the big one, which we've talked about before, but the big one was Barbara Gordon, the younger Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, she's what? She's like six?
Yeah, I'd say, I don't know.
11? I can't tell. It was a weird art.
They were at like an arcade, and they yeah, we're hanging out. I imagine she's probably, I don't know if they said. But
let's just say 8.
I mean, yeah, she's probably, age, probably like 8 to 11, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, like probably still elementary school age. So Jim Gordon takes his adopted daughter, which I should correct because we definitely said that wrong when we first started talking about Barbara Gordon. So this Barbara Gordon is his niece that he and his wife adopt and take care of. That's
which
why she's so
wife?
Much older.
Are we going to get back to that? Because the very first book we read for this podcast was...
Is it Sarah?
No, he's still Sarah he's Essen. Still married to Barbara and the
He's
the
married
mother.
To his daughter?
What? Barbara Glee? What's her name?
Barbara Keene.
Keene. So they're still married. Mm-hmm. Do we get... Are we going to see that development?
Yes.
In the books you chose?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
And they have the son, James.
He doesn't know. He's like, note to self, highlight these books on my serial killer list.
No, it's right here.
I got a closer look at the list.
It's that book right there.
Oh, perfect.
That's a pretty long serial killer list.
It's terrifying.
So young Barbara and Jim go out to the arcade, and Bad Cop is hunting Jim down at this point.
Bad Cop.
And puts...
Why is he hunting him? We didn't talk about that. He wants someone to end him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm he like, well, why don't done. You just kill yourself like your wife did? That's terrible. I'm so sorry. I don't support those things.
Wow.
But well, I
think
but
you
like,
did
what...
say earlier that murder is fun, Ben, so...
Murder is fun. Suicide and mental health is not something to make fun of.
Okay, fair.
But right. Murder is great. So where I draw the line. Anyways, Barbara was cute. It was a good moment. It was the first time that we've met one of Batman's actual sidekicks. Alfred is his assistant, his right-hand man. Jim is his friend who helps him. But he doesn't have a sidekick, a younger person who helps him. And she doesn't in this, but it was the first time we met them. You know, we mm-hmm. haven't met Dick Grayson. We haven't met any of the Robins. But we did meet Batgirl.
Yeah, and I think... It's a great introduction to her. It shows her as a fun loving, you know, she takes dance classes. She's a happy kid.
And then,
that continues as she becomes Batgirl. She's like Dick Grayson and loves being that sidekick to Batman and loves having fun. But it shows her what happens when Bad Cop comes, and he wants to basically suicide by cop, and in order to get Jim to do that, he puts everybody in the arcade in peril, specifically Barbara, and she pulls a gun on him. And that's very jarring to see a member. Mm-hmm. We know that she's going to be a member of the Bat family. She's not yet. She's 11 or 12 at this point.
Or 8.
Well, knowing what happens with her, I was also feeling all sorts of ways about it being a gun.
So I like that even though she pulls a gun and they don't tarnish her hero.
Yes.
Her heroic character, because it ends up that she's so smart and so quick thinking that she steals an arcade blaster and
cute.
Uses that to get Bad Cop to stand down. And, you know, he sees the effect that he's having and he reverts himself.
And Batman gives her, like, a look. They have, like, a moment. And my heart was like, oh, my God! And it made me completely not care that there wasn't any strong females the first 5 issues. Because I was like, we have Montoya and a cute, strong Batgirl. It was so good.
Yeah. Yeah, the little smirk that he gives to young Barbara is pretty great. He's like, yeah, you're going to work out fine, kid.
Here's my business card. Call me when you're 16.
And she's...
He did not do that. That's me being funny.
And she's so, you know, she's just so jolly. She's like, you know, don't worry, Dad. It's not real. Guns are dangerous. She's like pure and innocent. And that's a great introduction to Barbara Gordon. We find out even at the very end that even Arkham can't hold the Joker. You know, he...
No.
Still escapes. He still goes on to his murder rampage. You know, we're gonna revisit over and over and over that there is no way to contain this villain.
It was cool that the book ended with him escaping.
I think so too. Yeah, yeah. That he's got to show up. It's got to be the continual cat and mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, would you guys recommend this book?
Yeah, I need to read it again, apparently, because there's a bunch of shit I missed.
I would wait a little while, Aaron. I would get more into some of the characters, wait till we see matches again, wait till we see Renee again.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of that I just didn't know. So, yeah, I liked it. I thought, apart from Joker's depiction and art, I loved the art. I thought, like Ben was saying, the murders, how everything was escalated, how Joker just... You get a bigger picture of how he is willing to do whatever he needs to do or whatever he wants to do. And there really isn't a line for him except for killing Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it.
Yeah, this is easily in the top three things for me that we've read so far. Oh. I would own this book.
Is that Gothic is number one?
So. Oh, yes, definitely Gothic. Haha, no. the Poison Ivy book. I really liked Superman. This was good. This was solid. I would own this. I would reread it. I would recommend this book to anyone who likes the Joker, to anyone who wants a fun, quick Batman read.
Yeah, I would agree. I would recommend this book for any Batman fan, any Joker fan. I think it's definitely one. It caught me off guard. Like, I came to it late. I had already made the timeline, and it didn't include this book. And then when I found out that it was following up the story of the Man Who Laughed, and it had some introductions of some characters we hadn't met, I'm like, okay, well, we definitely need to read this. And then when I read it for the podcast, I loved it. I was like, I'm really glad I have this book now. And I want to share it with people. I think it's definitely one to seek out and go find. It is violent. There is a lot of death. The art style is able to tone that down a little bit and make it an enjoyable read. But
I'd say like what PG-11, like 11-12.
Yeah, probably 13. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, yeah. I mean, there's
nothing super sexual. There's nothing.
There's some blood and stuff, but it is something to be aware of if you're putting this in the hands of a younger reader, or if you're just not comfortable with that kind of stuff. Which outside of that, I think it's excellent. I'm very happy that we did it, and I think people should go out and read.
Something cool about it is the inside art doesn't match the covers, which normally annoys me. But here, the covers look a little darker, a little more adult. So I think that could prevent a lot of younger people from picking it up. Because if the covers match the inside, it looks very bright and it's very, you know, bold colors and sharp edges and very young looking. So I like that about it.
Yeah, that's a great commentary on it. Because I really like the cover of the trade paperback. It's got Batman dragging in Joker, who's in handcuffs, and he's kind of bruised up and beaten, but still smirking and rolling his eyes. And, you know, it's a very, very good cover art, but like you said, it doesn't match what's going on inside. And the inside art's good, it's just, it's a different kind of style, so...
Cool.
All right. Well, that was part one of this episode, guys. We're going to take a break, and we will catch up with you guys in a week for part two. Hope to see you soon.
Bye.
See ya. Thanks for listening.
Hopes of bitterness, this city's way.